Right, the cabinet today now has got all three of the bills which emanated from the Law Commission ready for introduction next week. Bills on wills, succession, homicide and an arbitration amendment. Clayton Cosgrove is in charge of those as Associate Minister of Justice. Ruth Dyson has brought to the Cabinet the document for public consultation on the ACC levy rates for 07-08. We have been considering a package of initiatives aimed at the obesity epidemic. That's work that's been spearheaded by the Minister of Sport and Recreation, Minister of Health, Minister of Education, Minister of Youth Affairs, and we're expecting to have announcements to make around that in the coming weeks. There is a discussion paper ready for release on the promotion of solar water heating, something Jeanette Fitzsimons has been working on in the responsibilities she has with respect to energy efficiency and conservation. Decisions have been taken around the extension of the program to eradicate the salt marsh mosquito, which inconveniently keeps turning up in new locations. Jim Anderton will have a statement to make about that. This is a pest which carries with it significant human health risks because it is a vector for the Ross River virus in Australia, not something we would like to be loose here. The Food Safety Authority has a discussion document ready on review of animal feed, and then there is the big series of discussion documents which Leanne Dalziel has circulated a media advisory around. She will be doing a briefing at midday on Thursday on the 9 discussion documents and the review of financial products and providers. The House this week, it's 3 days of government business. We hope to progress the KiwiSaver bill through to third reading, also the Meat Board Amendment bill, and the Child Support Amendment Bill, and to make progress with the Standards and Conformance Bill. Coming up this week, you will have seen today the release of the Food and Beverage Task Force report, and the task force chaired by Tony Knoll of Griffins and food industry leader. Be worth reading. Tomorrow, Michael Cullen is likely to release the Tertiary Education Strategy discussion document. Steve Mahari will be making an announcement about the location and funding for a new school in the Queenstown area, a rapidly growing area of New Zealand. On Wednesday, Trevor Mallard will be assembling changes in regional economic development policy at the EDA conference, Economic Development Agencies of New Zealand conference. And Wednesday or Thursday, Michael Cullen will be announcing details around the expansion of the Gateway program, which is the one which sees senior high school students placed in industry for a day a week, and is usually associated with people achieving standards on the qualifications framework as part of an industry-based qualification. Come Thursday, there'll be a launch of the Advanced Network, the super high-speed internet link between universities and research organisations, quite a big and expensive project that will be launched in Auckland. There'll be a launch by the Minister for the Environment of a new guide to the Resource Management Act, and the major media briefing, which I referred to by Leanne Dalziel. Other issues, I wanted to comment on the death in the security van of the 17-year-old man, which is an extremely shocking event, and our full thoughts and condolences are with the family. There are a number of inquiries that will ensue from this, obviously the police homicide inquiry, and I understand today they have formally charged a man on this matter. Secondly, there is the Chief Inspector of Prisons who will do an inquiry. I note also that the Ombudsman intends to inquire into the matter, and I think that's very timely. He has had things to say about this area of prison transportation before, and I think a look from the Ombudsman is a very good thing at this stage. There will in due course, I believe, be a coroner's inquiry. And coroners are also known for their ability to get to the bottom of the matter. And no doubt Chubb will be doing its internal investigation as well. But I repeat, it is completely unacceptable and shocking thing to have a minor murdered in a security van, and procedures will have to be looked at. Secondly, and for the record on the matter of the release of the hostages in Gaza, something I've been continually briefed about since the hostages were taken, and we got New Zealand diplomatic staff and then also a member of the police staff across to the area. I've written today to the President of the Palestinian National Authority, President Abbas, to thank him for the wholehearted cooperation of the Palestinian National Authority in securing the release. Quite simply, it would not have been possible without their determination to do that. And it's important that full recognition is given to that. Our diplomats liaise continually with the President, his office, the offices of the Palestinian Authority, its security people, and we're very happy with the release from home. And I also wish to pay credit to Anita McNaught, who I think was incredibly brave to stay on in Gaza as she did and to campaign for the release of her husband. I thought that was amazing. Now, the last point I wanted to mention was on East Timor, because the UN Security Council did pass a critical resolution on Friday, New York time, I think Saturday morning our time, about the future of the UN mission in Timor. And it has reformed the mission, and it will have two components. The civilian component at this point is the large one, and includes up to 1,608 police. The military component is at this point small, and I'll come to that in a moment. On the police side, our police went in early July for a one-off three-month deployment. That means they are due out in October. It means that should the transition to the UN police component take place in that three-month period, our police will come under their command. We will then consider what further role we might wish to take in the UN force, whether it would be of a patrolling or a training nature, or whether there are sufficient offers for others to carry on that work. But we have been holding the thin blue line while the UN got itself organised with a full mission. On the military side, there's obviously been a range of opinions in the UN, with quite a number wanting the military force to come directly under UN command. Australia has argued for a continuation of the present arrangement, where there's a joint task force, which would of course work closely with the UN, but would be Australian-led. We have always been comfortable with the UN Secretary-General's recommendations for a blue-helmeted military component, but we've said that we need to work to get a consensus on the way forward. So the UN has kicked for touch at the moment, and we'll come back to the matter at the end of October. We're also making a decision to withdraw one platoon from the New Zealand effort in Timor. We've had a full company plus a platoon there. The platoon of around 44 people will be coming out at this stage because the security situation is better than that which led us to go to those numbers of around 200 several months ago. Australia and Malaysia have also drawn down on their military component. I should say that the broader UN mission does suggest that the UN is taking seriously the need to start again with the nation building in Timor, and it's given itself a very broad mandate across all institutions, human rights, election process, reviewing defence and security forces to try and put a stronger set of structures in place in Timor for the future, in the hope that the meltdown we've seen this year will not reoccur. Okay, any questions?
Well,
Well, I did watch the program late last night. I have to say, I saw virtually nothing that was new in it, and nor have I said anything that is new today. I have said from the outset that the Ingram report told me what I needed to know, and that was that Mr. Field should not be reappointed as a minister. The report did not find that he had misused his position as a minister, but it did show that there were a range of practices he had as a Member of Parliament which were inappropriate practices, and I've been very clear about that from the beginning. So I've been clear that the report led to Mr. Field losing his job, being humiliated. Clearly, last night's programme and other coverage at the weekend continues that process, and it's a very difficult situation for him to be in.
The allegation that he wanted a document or asked the staff to document a document, or the allegation that he tried to conceal a $100 bill in a meeting with an LD constituent, they are new allegations, aren't they?
Well, firstly, on the issue of money in the electorate office, that is covered in the report, and Mr. Ingram commented on the practice of LAFO and asked for the Cabinet Office to be asked to issue guidelines. The matter is still with the Cabinet Office at this point. On the other issue, that is an allegation. It's an allegation Mr. Field denied. If people have allegations which they think involve wrongdoing, then they should take them to the appropriate place, and that is to the police. Well, that's not in my control. My control is on who is a minister. Who is an MP is a member of the Labour Party organisation. And as I've said ad nauseam, I'm sure in the light of humiliation like this, any person would consider what their career prospects might be.
You seem to be casting doubt this morning, and perhaps even now, on whether or not he should stay as an MP, though.
Well, I'm saying that anyone in this circumstance would consider their position when they're looking forward. In substance, I've been suggesting this for some time.
Do you think he can still be an effective MP?
It's still possible for people to work hard for their constituents, but it's important that people work in a way which is appropriate in New Zealand.
When you say looking forward with regard to... Sorry, when you say looking forward with regard to Mr. Field, are you looking forward to the next month, next year, or 2008?
Well, that's a matter for him in consultation with the Labour Party.
Are you saying that you want, that you would like him to come to the
Commission? What I've said is that anyone in this position would be considering what their career prospects are. That's a matter for him.
Would it be easier for Labour if he did decide to resign?
I don't wish to offer an opinion on that. What I've said is that the Ingram report told me everything I needed to know about what I was responsible for, and that is who is a minister. And the fact is, he is no longer a minister.
If he decides that he is comfortable staying on as an MP, would you be comfortable with that?
Well, as I say, that's a matter for him and the Labour Party organisation to work through. And there are always processes for people to continue or not continue. There's a round of selection process. That ball is really in his court, and you should be putting those questions.
It sounds as if you're saying the Labour Party's got lower standards than you have.
What I'm saying is I have to exercise a judgment about who is a minister, and I've exercised that judgment.
You're happy for him to stay in caucus and the Labour caucus then?
Well, Mr. Field has been a very hard-working Labour member over a long period of time. But as the Ingram report revealed, he had work practices which were simply inappropriate. And he has had the senior whip and other senior colleagues advise him on appropriate ways of working.
Do you think the Labour Party should take some action on the
potential benefit from the Party? I'm not going to offer an opinion on what the Labour Party should or should not do. That's a matter for the Labour Party organisation.
Have you spoken to Mr. Field about his future, and have you spoken to him about the allegations?
I haven't spoken to him over what's occurred this weekend.
Will you be asking him about those specific claims?
Well, I've made the judgment I need to make. The judgment I need to make is Mr. Field a minister? And clearly he's not a minister. As I say, there are allegations. People should put them to the police if they believe they're serious.
Don't you have to make a judgment, though, as the Labour leader? You make a
you stand as though it's a separate exercise from some other entity, but you are the leader of the Labour Party.
I'm the leader of the Parliamentary Labour Party. We have a party organisation which is responsible for the selection of candidates. So Mr Field's future is in the hands of the Labour Party in that sense.
So you're happy for it to drag on for another 2 years to get to the selection process and for it to be dealt with then?
Well, the selection process won't be 2 years away. The selection process could be early 2008, could be late 2007. It could be as little as a year, 14 months or
anything. Yeah, but you are happy for him to remain in the caucus in the meantime?
As I've said to you, Mr Field has been a very loyal member of the Labour caucus. He's not a member who has previously caused trouble. The report has highlighted that he had undesirable ways of working as a member of Parliament, and the senior whip and other senior colleagues have been working with him to correct that.
Has he given any indications at all on what his thinking is on this
matter? Not at this stage, but I'm sure when you're subject to the level of public humiliation that this has occasioned, all sorts of thoughts will go through one's mind about what lies ahead.
Is there any discussions with the Labour Party hierarchy at the moment about this future?
I really couldn't answer that.
I mean, you see, it seems, how can you sort of say, the behaviour is clearly inappropriate, it doesn't matter whether he's acting as a minister or as an MP.
Now, what I'm saying to you is that I have a judgment to make as Prime Minister about who is a minister. I've always made it clear that it's not my job to go around ordering inquiries into ordinary members of Parliament. If I had that power, there'd be quite a long list from a number of parties who've been investigated.
So your caucus was prepared to strongly censor John Panagiri for slagging off a few colleagues, whereas this MP appears to have misled the inquiry, told a number of untruths, and probably taken a lot of people's money.
Well, those are allegations you are making, and those allegations are contested.
Legally, is there any way you can get rid of the title Phil Field? I mean, John Albert-Kerry took 2 years.
As Prime Minister, no.
Are you considering any further inquiries into Mr Field, given some of the questions left unanswered by the...
No. If there are allegations of wrongdoing, they should be taken to appropriate authorities. If people are alleging fraud, they should go to the police.
Are you concerned that, when you spoke last night about this Beltway issue, are you concerned that this continuing flow of allegations, fresh allegations about Mr Field is damaging and it could be corrosive for Labour?
Well, I'm not aware of saying anything about that last night.
The issue about it being a Beltway issue?
Well, I've made the point that the government is a very busy government with a very, very big agenda, and an agenda that's very beneficial to many people. Whether you're talking working for families or investment in transport or the lowest unemployment in 20 years, these are things that are very important to people. I've also made it clear that I don't regard Mr Field's behaviour as appropriate, which is why the senior whip and other senior members have worked with him on that. But I think there is an ability of the public to get things in perspective. This government does deliver. This government does get on with a very proactive programme, and it demonstrably gets results which are good for New Zealand.
Do you have any concerns that the inquiry itself was improperly structured, given we know now that Noel Ingram clearly didn't have the resources or the power to investigate?
No, I don't accept that at all. The resources were infinite, as you can see from the size of the bill. I've also continually stressed that Mr Ingram made it clear that he did not believe that the ability to compel witnesses to appear and give evidence would necessarily have materially assisted the inquiry at all.
But he obviously suggested that it might assist the inquiry, he left that as an open
question. No, he answered his own question, which that he doubted whether he would have got any further.
So has anyone from the Labour Party at any point approached him and said, you've now reached the point where you should stand down, be it now or come next?
I have no idea. You'd have to put that question to Mr Field.
But aren't you essentially issuing a public invitation here for him to consider his options?
I'm simply answering questions which make it clear what my responsibilities as Prime Minister are, and pointing out what the responsibilities of the Labour Party organisation are.
Okay. if he decided that enough was enough and he was going to go, what problems would that pose you as Prime Minister in terms of...
Well, I'm not going to answer hypothetical questions because he hasn't made such an announcement.
Can you explain the process that the Labour Party has to go through? Now, you talked about working in consultation with the Speaker. What does that involve?
No, I haven't talked about working in consultation with him. I pointed out that one of the first moves by the senior whip was to go to Mr. Field's electorate office on a Saturday morning and go through the procedures which he used in the office and to work with him on appropriate ways of handling constituency cases, also stressing the importance of sticking to constituency cases. Mr. Field is trying to help people from across a pretty wide swathe of Auckland. There are MPs across Auckland, and he should be sticking to his own electorate business.
Are you concerned there's just going to be a string of damaging stories going forward about Mr. Field?
Well, as I say, I watched the program late last night, and with one single exception, there was nothing new in it at all.
Well, it did have a contradiction with Mr. Field recorded on camera last year saying he planned to enjoy the Thai pilot, which he spends pages and pages in the report denying.
Well, you'll have to put those allegations to him. I'm not here to defend him or what anybody said to the report. I'm simply pointing out to you, as I have for rather more than a month now, that from the report I drew the obvious and only conclusion, which was that he should not be reappointed as a minister, and that the senior whip should get on and work with him on appropriate ways of working.
Ms. Clark, what about the Weekend Herald report that appeared completely at odds with what was in the Ingram report?
Well, I don't propose to debate here what people said to the Herald, the Inquiry, television or anything else. Those are questions you have to put to him.
But if he misled the Inquiry that you set up, what does that say about his respect for the Labour Party and your response?
Well, I'm not conceding that anybody's misled anybody. What I'm saying is that the report gave me the information that I needed to do my job, and that it has led to Mr. Field being publicly humiliated for inappropriate practices, and he will be assessing the consequences of that.
So lastly, what would it take for an MP to be expelled from the Labour Party? What sort of behaviour would they have to carry out?
Well, that's a matter of case-by-case consideration.
Just on the death of the youth and the police and the Chubb Band, Prime Minister, do you hold anybody particularly to blame for that at this account? I mean, is it corrections or is it Chubb?
Well, ultimately, corrections is responsible for letting a contract to Chubb. Chubb is responsible for meeting that contract and for providing secure transport for prisoners. That's why the inquiry into what happened will need to look very hard at what went wrong.
Is there any need to immediately issue ask corrections to look at something, or, for example, stand down their contract with Chubb in the meantime?
I don't think that would be practical, because Chubb has, since 1998 with the previous government, had the contract for transport between prisons and courts in the Auckland area. So if you removed or suspended the contract with Chubb, it's very hard to see who could do the transport. The police aren't geared for it at this point.
Were you surprised to find that there's no guard in the back of those vans?
No. Who in their right mind would want to sit in them?
Well, someone could be there to stop that sort of thing.
Well, they'd probably be assaulted themselves.
So you don't think there should be guards in the back of the vans?
I haven't yet seen that's practical. Perhaps you'd like to volunteer. I really think you'd be putting a guard's life in concern.
The key thing
is to secure properly. Now, the Minister of Police has advised us today that the police have procured what might be called a super paddy wagon for this kind of transport, which sounds a good deal more secure than what Chubb has been using.
Yeah, but I mean, again, these are prisoners who are in sort of compartmentalised cells.
Well, if you're in compartmentalised cells, how do you get to kill someone?
Well, they were in this room
with them. Well, they can't have been too compartmentalised. That's why I think we need a good hard look at what level of security has been provided by Chubb, and whether it in fact meets the protocols and criteria of the Department of Corrections. But let's underline, it is totally unacceptable for someone to be killed in the back of a security van.
Do you think it's possible you'll be returning the transport of prisoners to within the corrections about like you've returned Auckland Regional Remand Prison to the public sector?
Well, I think that what the inquiry would need to look at is whether there are any special circumstances which led to this, or whether there is a bigger systemic problem, and whether that problem, if it exists, is of significant such magnitude that the contract should be reconsidered. Those are the sorts of issues you wouldn't want to issue an instant opinion on.
Promise has got a plane to catch. Promise,
can I just
answer
one question that's on our Philip Hill thing? If he's not good enough to be reselected cabinet, is he good enough to be reselected as an MP next time around?
Well, that's a matter of judgment for the Labour Party.
What's your feeling on that?
A matter of judgment for the Labour Party, but in the end, the Labour Party caucus votes on the cabinet, and I make a recommendation for one-off vacancy. I haven't made that recommendation because the Ingram report told me what I needed to know.
On the hospital, Thomas, will you be sort of seeking an investigation of the circumstances of your abduction of him, how the bus lane?
No, I don't think that's the track we want to go down. I think the important thing is to know that in the Palestinian Authority area, the administration is absolutely determined to do everything it can to see that people are released, and that's been a huge comfort to us. It couldn't have been done without their help.
Thank you.